There's got to be more than going back and forth from doing right to doing wrong. 'Cause we were taught that's who we are. Come on, get in line right behind me. You along with everybody, thinking there's worth in what you do. Then like a hero who takes the stage when we're on the edge of our seats saying it's too late. Well, let me introduce you to Amazing Grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. Could it possibly be? We simply can't believe that this unconditional kind of love would be enough to take a filthy wretch like this, wrap him up in righteousness. But that's exactly what he did. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. Oh yeah. Take a breath, smile, and say right here, right now, I'm okay, because the cross was enough. Then like a hero who takes the stage when we're on the edge of our seats saying it's too late, well, let me introduce you to grace, grace. God's grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain, still the truth is the cross has made you flawless. No matter what they say or what you think you are, the day you called his name, he made you flawless. The bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. Amen.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you, Denisa. Well, God bless you. Once again, it is good to have you in the service this morning. Aren't you glad for the cross? Amen. Amen. Please stand with us, if you would, please, and turn in the scripture this morning, if you would, to the Psalms 119. And I want to begin to read in verse number 145. We'll just read one verse together. Psalm 119 and verse number 145. Follow along as I read, if you would please. Notice what the psalmist writes. I cried with my whole heart, Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. The title of our message today is Seven Prayer Requests. We looked at a prayer request last week from verse number 18, and there are seven specific prayer requests that I would like for us to consider from the 119th Psalm this morning, and they all deal with the same main theme, and that is the Word of God. So as we consider this, let's have a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Word. We thank you for the power of your Word. And I just pray, Lord, as we consider once again, as we continue in an attitude of worship, Lord, that you might open our ears, that we would hear what it is that the Scripture has today. Help us to glean from the Scripture what the Holy Spirit laid on the heart of the psalmist as this great 119th psalm was penned. Lord, that we might realize that it is relevant in our lives even today, even more so probably today than any other time that man has existed. Help us, Lord, forgive us of our sins, draw us back to you. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you very much, and be seated if you would please. How many of you like to have your prayers answered? Would you let me see your hand? If you would, we'll praise the Lord. Well, wouldn't it be rather silly to pray if we didn't believe in prayer? Wouldn't it be kind of silly to not pray with our whole heart? You know, James told us in the New Testament that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so the instruction is that we are to pray fervently before the Lord. We are come before him believing in an answer, asking that he would help us. And it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Well, who is righteous? Well, the Bible tells us that none is righteous but God himself. And so the only righteousness we have is imputed to us by the Lord God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to pray. When we pray, we need to pray fervently. It needs to be an effectual prayer. We need to put all of our heart into it. And that is what the psalmist says there in verse 145, that he prays with his whole heart. He is earnestly asking the Lord for some things. And I would like to consider seven prayer requests that we find here in this 109th psalm. I want to begin this morning with verse number 12. Let's look at it, verse number 12, and the last part of that verse. Notice what he says, O Lord, teach me thy statutes or thy laws. Well, where do we find the laws, God's laws? Do we not find them in the Word of God? And so the thought here and the intent of the psalmist is that he says that God would teach us his statutes or his words. This means that true learning of God's word is only possible if God himself becomes the teacher in and through any other means. And so it's not philosophy, it's not psychology, it is the Word of God that is going to make the difference in all of our lives. It is the teaching of the Word of God that is going to make the difference in the psalmist's life and in our life this morning. So he earnestly contends with the Lord that the Lord would teach him his laws or his statutes out of the Word of God. And that should be our request this morning. And we see this repeated throughout this 119th psalm. Look, if you would please, to verse number 33. He repeats this. He says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. God is the teacher. We are the student. And so we are going to him directly. And thank God that the New Testament believer has that privilege of going directly through the throne of grace. We don't have to go through another man. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through anybody. We can go directly. Paul tells us in the New Testament that we can boldly come to the throne of grace, and we can bring our petitions before the Lord God because of what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus dying on the cross opened up to us the throne room of heaven itself. So we can come directly to him. So the psalmist says, Lord, teach me thy statutes. Teach me thy ways. Look in verse number 64, part B, if you would. Notice what he says here. He says, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me your word according to your mercies, your great mercies. Teach me, O Lord. Look at verse number 66. Teach me the good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed in thy commandments. So over and over again, the psalmist here is helping, is asking the Lord to teach him his word. We see here in verse 68b, we see it again. Notice what he says. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. We see it once again in verse 135. Look at it for just a moment. Notice what the psalmist says here in the 135th verse. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. And so understand, as we go through life, and I know there are lots of sources, some better than others. I'm aware that you can find, all kinds of information on the internet. But be careful. Be careful what you study. Be careful what you read, because not all of it is of the Lord. Not all of it is thus saith the Lord. So we must understand, as we are seeking, we can go directly to the Lord himself. Ask the Holy Spirit to direct us, to help us to understand what it is that he is trying to teach us, so that we might receive the fullness of the particular teaching. Not man's opinion, not what somebody thinks, what the scripture. Everybody, you know what? Everybody has an opinion, don't they? But is every opinion right? No, it's not. It needs to be measured by the word of God. So as the psalmist prays here, he is praying that God would teach him his holy word. Prayer request number 2. We find it in the 19th verse of Psalm 119. Let's look at it for just a moment. As we look at the 119th Psalm, this time verse number 19. What is he saying here? He's asking that God would not hide his word from him. Look at it here in verse number 19. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. So just by virtue of the fact that the psalmist is praying this particular prayer, then there is a possibility that God's word could be hid from his children. Go with me, if you would, please, to the book of Amos, if you would, this morning. The book of Amos, chapter number 8. If you're looking for Amos, it's on page 1352 in my Bible. That's all the help that I can give you this morning. The book of Amos, chapter 8, and verse number 11. Notice what Amos writes in the scripture. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That is inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit writing through Amos said there would come a day when there would be a famine in the land of the Word of God. That is a real danger. It was a danger to the Jew, and it can be a danger to you and I. Think for just a moment. There was a 400-year period of time between the closing out of the Old Testament and the coming or the appearance of John the Baptist. And during that 400 years, there was no word from heaven. Imagine that. Would you have liked to have lived during that 400 years, especially as a Jew? I don't think so. That would have been difficult. That would be a dearth. That would be a drought of the Word of God. And Amos predicted it in the Scripture that that time would come when there would be no word from heaven. Go to the Psalms, if you would please. And I believe it's chapter number 74. Psalm chapter number 74. And plug in at verse number 9. And notice what the psalmist writes here in the 74th Psalm. He says, "We see not our signs." This is a Jewish person who is writing this. "We see not our signs." In other words, you know, the Jewish people were huge on signs. God would give them particular signs. You remember when he brought the children of Israel out of bondage when they were in Egypt? He gave them 10 signs that he was going to bring them out, that he was going to deliver them. So Jewish people were very much into signs that the Lord would send, events in the life of the Jewish people, so that they would know that God was with them. Now the psalmist says here in chapter 74 and verse number 9, "We see not our signs." What is he saying? God is not moving. God is not sending signs to us. God is not showing us these things. There is a drought. There is a spiritual drought. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet. What was the responsibility of the prophet to Israel? The responsibility of the prophet was to proclaim the Word of God. And so they're in this time of seemingly limbo with the Jewish people. God is not giving them signs. He's not showing them signs. He's not showing them miracles. There is no prophet in the land. They are not hearing the preaching of the Word of God. And the psalmist goes on to say, and he says, "Neither is there any that knoweth how long." In other words, there is nobody to declare that a prophet is on his way. There is nobody to declare that we're coming out of this dearth, we're coming out of this spiritual drought. And we know from periods of time that through history that there have been droughts in the land, that people have suffered the consequences of the drought. But what about a spiritual drought of not hearing the Word of God? Can you imagine what it might be for us this morning or today if starting tomorrow there was no more preaching of the Word of God? The churches were closed. The Bibles were confiscated. There is no Scripture on the internet. Can you imagine what that would be to the child of God? And so as the psalmist prays here in this Psalm 119, he is praying that God would not hide his word. Let me ask you this morning, if that scenario were to happen, if that were to happen tomorrow, how many Christians would miss it? How would How many Christians would even know that the Word of God had been withdrawn from the children of God? How sad and how tragic. And so the psalmist, understanding that this is a possibility, he yearns and he prays that the Lord would not hide His Word from him. Go back to Psalm 119 and verse number 43. He repeats this. He says, "And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments." Where would we be today without the Word of God in our life? Oh, what a terrible thought. What an anxious moment that would be in the life of the believer if we did not have the precious Word of God. So I believe that what the psalmist is saying here, he's saying, "Lord, draw us close to your Word, that we might appreciate, that we might truly be blessed by the Word of God." You see, the Jews went through these periods of time when they would reject the Lord God, when they would turn away from the Lord God, so the Lord would be silent for a period of time. And he would do it on purpose because his people needed to come back. They needed to come home. They needed to come back to his word. You read about the Jews when they came back to the land, when they were led by Ezra, and they came back from Babylon, and Nehemiah built the great wall around the city of Jerusalem. And it was done for the whole purpose that once again the Word of God would be read and it would be declared in the streets of Jerusalem. And as the priests would read the Word of God, the people would weep. They would literally weep because they had missed hearing the Word of God. Prayer number three, that God would make us to understand His Word. Look in the 119th Psalm, this time at verse number 27. "Make me to understand the ways of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works." That we would understand his word. His first prayer was that God would teach him the word. His second prayer was that God would not hide his word. His third prayer request is that God would make us to understand his word. How many times have you read a scripture and nothing happens? I mean, it's there, but it just doesn't mean anything. And as you grow spiritually and as you continue your walk with the Lord, and maybe sometimes God will bring you back to that verse, and then all of a sudden it's just like it leaps off the page. And you see something that you had never seen in that scripture before. And it ministers to your heart. It ministers to your life. And the prayer is that God would make us to understand His Word. Look at verse number 34, if you would please. "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law." Also, if you would please, look at verse 73, part B. Notice what it says in the 73rd verse. "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." Go on over to verse 144 for just a moment. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding. The psalmist is praying, "Lord, help me to understand. Give me the understanding of what the scripture says. Help me to get it. Help me to grasp it." Verse 169, he repeats it again. "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord, give me understanding according to thy word." Lord, help me to understand. Open my mind that I might hear and I might understand. Here we ask God to cause us to understand, to do whatever he needs to do to get us to understand His Word. And here is a part and a portion that most of us don't ever want to go. Lord, do whatever is necessary to help me to understand Thy Word. Many of you know the evangelist Jamie Regal. He stood right here in this church before and preached. And Jamie would always say, you know, you can listen and learn, or you can live and learn. How many of us had opted for that second avenue? You can listen and learn, or you can live and learn. So at this point, we're asking the Lord to do whatever He needs to do to get us to understand whatever it is that He is trying to convey. So do not be surprised if you pray that prayer and there's a loss of income, a downturn in your 401, a loss of a job, maybe the loss of a relative, a loss of a good friend. We are literally giving the Lord permission in our life to do whatever it is necessary to convey whatever it is that He is trying to teach us. You see, some of our skulls are thicker than others. Sometimes it takes more experience to penetrate this. Lord, help me to understand Thy Word. Who was it in the scripture that said, basically, and this is a paraphrase, I believe it might have been David, and it comes down to this: never criticize somebody else until you've walked a mile in their shoes. Because through experience, we can glean and finally learn what it is that God is trying to teach us. And then we can understand where other people are. You see, it's hard to relate to some people unless you've gone through what they have gone through. There are some preachers here this morning, and I believe that they would verify what I'm saying this morning. It is hard as a minister to minister to someone else if you've not gone through what that person has gone through. But when you've walked that walk, when you've gone down that road, when you've had that occur in your life, it changes your perspective, it changes your understanding of other people and what they go through. Lord, help me to understand Your Word. It might come through pain, it might come through great difficulty, but I'm telling you, we need to learn and we need to understand what it is that God's Word is saying to you and to me this morning. Prayer number 4. We see it in verse number 36. The prayer is here is that we would incline our hearts to His Word. Look at verse number 36 there in the 119th Psalm. Notice what it is that the psalmist asked for. He says, incline my heart unto Thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Incline my heart to Your Word. The great problem here is not that we are, the great problem with us this morning is that we are disinclined by our human nature to read, to meditate, and to memorize the Word of God. That does not come naturally to us. It is not part of our makeup. So the prayer here is that God would incline our hearts, give us a desire to learn the Word of God, to memorize, to meditate, to pray on these things. There have been prisoners of war who have given the testimony that when they were, you know, imprisoned in a foreign war, a prisoner of war camp, when they were tortured, when they were beaten, when they were, all kinds of things happened to them because the enemy was trying to get information from them. And the thing that got them through was the Word of God. Scriptures that they learned and memorized when they were in Sunday school, when they were very young. The psalmist says, incline my heart towards your word. Give me a desire. Create within me a desire, a hunger for the word of God. Because it is the word of God that's going to make the difference. The Holy Spirit will bring back that memory of that verse. You might be witnessing to somebody, and God will give you a particular verse at a particular time so that you can help to win that person to Christ, something that they might identify with because you have committed it to memory. You have planted it in your psyche. It is there. It is available. The Holy Spirit can come back and recall it. And so, but that's not our nature. That's not our desire. So the psalmist is asking, Lord, give me a hunger for your word, that I might meditate upon it, that I might memorize it, that I might read it. And we need that hunger for the word of God. Number five, the fifth prayer of the psalmist is that God would, God would give us life to keep his word. Look at verse number 88, if you would please. The psalmist is praying that God would give us life to keep his word. Verse number 88, quicken me. Quicken me. That means to make us alive. Quicken me, Lord, after thy loving kindness, and so shall I keep thy testimony of thy mouth. The psalmist is asking for personal revival in his life. Lord, keep me revived. Keep me alive for you. The psalmist is aware that we need life. We need revival. We need energy to give ourselves to the word and its obedience. So he's asking God for this basic need. God, give me personal revival. Sometimes we schedule revival for the church. And it's almost a misnomer, as though the evangelist is going to carry revival in his briefcase as he comes to the pulpit. You see, revival isn't scheduled. Revival happens as we get on our faces before a holy God. We repent of our sin. We beg God for renewal in our life. That period of time that when the Word of God penetrates us in such a way that we let go of external things. We let go of those things that are holding us back. You see, I believe that that's why Jesus on some occasions would go off by himself. He wanted to spend time with the Father. Somebody once said it this way, it's hard to fly like an eagle when you hang around turkeys all the time. And those apostles, oh my goodness. You talk about a drag on him spiritually. Sometimes Jesus just had to get away. Sometimes he had to go into the mountain. Sometimes he just had to spend all night in prayer. Sometimes he just had needed time alone. He needed that. You see, the world can drain us. It can do that. The world has that potential. And see, that's one of the reasons that you and I should assemble together on the Lord's Day. Because you and I need one another. We need encouragement. But do you understand that the church is not the only place that you can get encouragement? See, because we don't have church every day. And we need this every day of our life. And we need to pray, be praying, Lord, revive me. Keep me alive for you. Because the reality is, we hang around, you know, we rub elbows sometimes with some characters. And sometimes that rubs off. And so we need encouragement. And the Word of God will keep us alive. It will quicken us. It will make us alive. And so if we're going to make it through this life, we need to have those periods of refreshment in the Word of God. We need that encouragement. And I encourage you to do it more than once a week. I encourage you to get into the Word of God on a daily basis. Lord, revive me. Let your word revive me. Make me spiritually alive. Because there's just a whole lot of stuff out there that's going to pull us down, that's going to drag us down. It's going to discourage us. But I'm telling you this, won't lift you up. The word of God will encourage you. So the psalmist prays here that God would give him life, that he would give him revival, that he would bless him. Prayer number 6, that God would direct our steps in his word. Look at chapter 119, this time verse 133. Look there for just a moment. Order or direct my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. We're dependent on the Lord, not only for understanding and revival, but also for the doing of the Word of God. This is the practical application. How did Jesus say it in the New Testament? He says, I don't want you to just be a hearer of the Word of God. I want you to be a doer. The practical application. Direct my steps in your word, that I might perform, and I don't like that word, but that I might do your will for my life. That is a prayer that you and I need to pray this morning, that he would direct our steps in our life. But the reality is, we cannot do this on our own. We cannot do it in the energy of the flesh. We have to be surrendered to the Spirit of Almighty God. Most of you, if I say the name Dr. Jack Hiles, you know who I'm talking about. Great man of God in the 20th century. Probably more people in heaven as a result of the ministry in the 20th century. Dr. Hiles would have to rank right up there. What a soul winner. You know what his practice was? His practice was 7 times a day to yield to the Holy Spirit. Stop wherever he was. Stop everything he was doing and yield to the Holy Spirit. Yielding to the Spirit of Almighty God. See, we've asked him to direct our steps. We've asked him to help us. So we don't spin our wheels. So that we're talking to the exact person that we're supposed to be talking to. Given that testimony. Surrendered to the Lord. Wherever we are. Asking the Lord to open up opportunities for us to serve him. To live for him. To do the things that would be honoring and glorifying to him. Prayer number 7. We find it in verse 176. Look there real quickly if you would please. Verse 176. This time the psalmist is praying that God would seek us when we go astray from his word. Look at it in verse number 176. He confesses, I have gone astray. This psalmist ends the 119th psalm with a confession to Almighty God. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not, for I do not forget thy commandments. Actually, what he's praying is that the Lord would help him not to forget the commandments of Almighty God. Turn to the book of Isaiah for just a moment. Look, if you would please, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53 and verse number 6. Isaiah the prophet, notice what he says here in the 53rd chapter in verse number 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Does that leave anybody out? All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Isn't it amazing that when God identifies us in the Word of God, he identifies us as sheep? Do you think of sheep as intelligent individuals or intelligent animals? Not at all. And the Isaiah says we're all like sheep. We have gone astray in verse number 6. Notice what else he says. He says, we have turned everyone to his own way. Is that true? You know, didn't the scripture say in the book of Judges that in the days of the judges that every man did that which was, you know, seemed right in his own eyes? Isn't that a picture of today? I mean, if it feels right, I want to do it. I mean, forget the Word of God. Forget what God says about thou shalt not. That has no relevance whatsoever. If it feels good, just do it. In other words, if I can justify it in my mind, then it's okay. And that's exactly what Isaiah said people would do. See, when people are left to their own devices, there is no limit to what they will do or what they will not do. And so he says here, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord, speaking of the Lord God, hath laid on him, that H-I-M is Jesus Christ, the iniquity or the sin of us all. So the psalmist says here in verse number 1, in 176 of the 119th psalm, he says, I have gone astray. He's coming clean. He's confessing like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant so that I will not forget thy commandments, thy great commandments. This remarkable man of God finishes out the longest psalm in the book of Psalms, repenting, confessing, asking for forgiveness. He's asking God to bring him back. Lord, bring me back into a right place. Bring me back into a place of blessing. Bring me back to a place where I will hear and do the Word of God. That I will be that servant, that I will live for you, that I will do those things that you're calling me to do, because my nature, my sinful, selfish nature says, I don't want to go to church today. I would rather sleep in today. Did you hear about that fellow that was complaining and said, I'm not going to go to church today? And his wife says, why not? Well, I just don't feel like it. And so she says, but you got to go. And he says, why? And she says, because you're the preacher. See, you're not the only one who wants to stay in bed on Sunday morning. It happens to the preacher. Our nature rejects the things of Almighty God. And the psalmist said, Lord, I'm like that lost sheep. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get back home. You ever see a sheep who gets outside the fence ever get back successfully on its own? Not going to happen. Not going to happen. We need help. The psalmist said, Lord, help me. Help me. I've gone astray. I've wandered far away from home. Father, maybe there are some here today who, like that lost sheep, have wandered far away. Lord, they want to come back, but they don't know how. Would you let your Holy Spirit draw them today? Would you bring them back into a right relationship? Faithful once again. Oh, Father, would you speak to hearts this morning? Draw us through your word. Help us to be serious about prayer. If we want the answers to prayer, we need to be fervent in prayer. We need to be honest and open. We need to confess our sins. We need to be open about the things that are in our life that don't need to be there. Oh God, today help us. Draw the lost. Draw the wayward Christian. Bring them home today. Help us, Lord. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.